Tonight is a unique night. And I pray that we will not miss out on what God wants to do tonight. In the name of Jesus. I think so that we can fully understand the scope, we have to do some teaching while we have some light. Then we'll shift the service subsequently as the Lord supplies His grace. But it is a privilege to be in this city at this point in time doing the will of God. Father, we thank you once again for your great presence that permeates the core of our being and imparts into us life by your Spirit. We thank you for the grace that you have abundantly bestowed upon us, wherewith today we stand to bear testimony and witness to the resurrection of your Son. We ask, O God, that mighty deposits of heaven will descend upon the lives of your people, and you will raise from among us arrows, worthy arrows, that will kindle terror in the camp of darkness, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. Let's take 45 minutes and establish a perspective. Then we'll trust God to move from that point. In Jesus' mighty name. It's a conference of bones. Bones. Not for babies. We have celebrated babyhood Christianity for so long in the body of Christ. So much so that the corporate discernment that we wield is deficient. Our taste buds are deficient. And now we need men like John the Baptist. People that are wired with an inner structure that have the capacity to call people to repentance, call people to alignment, call people to perspective. I trust that God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. In the book of Luke chapter 1, we'll read from verse 10. Luke chapter 1, we'll read from verse 10. Hallelujah. I really like this microphone. It's wonderful. Wonderful mic. No, you don't need to shout. It just gives expression. The Lord will help. I pray our lives will be like this microphone. Amen. Gives expression. Now, in Luke chapter 1 verse 10, the Bible says, "And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense." Now, we are going to have to understand the furniture structure of the holy place so that we can adequately identify what point in that holy place Gabriel stood. "And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall not drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the heart of the fathers unto the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am a man, I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him,
Gabriel.
Somebody say, I am Gabriel. You know, I like this rendition, because all through scripture there was no angel that was dispatched from heaven to carry out a divine errand that had to introduce himself in this manner. He says, I am Gabriel. His credentials too. He invoked his name and he invoked his credentials. I am Gabriel that standeth in the presence of God, and I'm sent to speak unto you and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now, as we study the Bible, just like I said the first night, if we are going to understand the protocol of heaven and how heaven functions, we will need to peep into the scriptures and see the kind of angels, the status, and kind of spiritual messengers that run errands in heaven. When we understand the kind of spiritual messengers that run errands for heaven and in heaven, we'll come to realize the kind of ministers we need on earth that can run errands for God upon the face of the earth. We saw in the book of Genesis chapter 3 how that when man fell, he was cast out of the Garden of Eden. And a cherubim was placed towards the pathway that led to the tree of life, so that man will not be able to stretch forth his hand to the tree of life and be eternally damned. That angel had an assignment that was descriptive of the kind of errand that he was sent to perform. He was a guardian. And so because he was from the quadrangle of guardians, when an assignment crystallized that required the services of a guardian, he was invoked to carry out that assignment. Now we are seeing another kind of messenger here. This one is not a guy. Is not a guardian. He came to Zacharias to bring a message of God's redemption that was going to find expression, and to reveal the setting in which that redemption was going to crystallize. And he brought this message to Zechariah, who was a priest after the order of Abia. And it was as if they had a roster. A roster in those days that revealed who was on duty per time. And at this particular time, and the lot fell upon the priest according to the order of Abia to carry out the normal temple sacrifices and temple worships that was required for that season. And he was doing the normal thing that he was used to doing. He was doing the normal kind of things that he was trained to do. And this day, when he came into the temple to carry out the normal stuff that he normally does, the Bible says that by the side, the right side of the altar of incense, there was an angel that stood. And fear was casted upon him. And Gabriel said unto him, fear not, I came with good news from heaven. For a long time there has been bad news, but now it's good news. So there's nothing to be afraid of. Hallelujah. And he told him that, well, your prayers have been answered. That is to say that Zechariah had been praying. And it happens to be that Zechariah prayed, but he did not believe his prayers could be answered. But he prayed as a religious exercise. Because when the answer to his prayer came, and glad tidings as touching his prayers that he had been making all this while came, he could not believe that his prayers could actually find answers, even though he was praying them. I don't know what kind of priest that man was. You know, a lot of people come to church, they know the house of God, but they don't know the God of that house. They know how the order of service goes, but they cannot discern at what point in the meeting God steps down from heaven and releases his presence in order to fulfill his counsel. Zechariah was such a man. he had been trained to pray religiously, and he did not understand the potency of the utterances that he was making. So much so that when the prayer created a memorial in the heavens, and God decided to respond to that prayer by sending a messenger to send news of glad tidings, this man was incapable of believing the prayers he uttered. Now, in the midst of his unbelief, there's something I realized about this angel that was dispatched. And there are some insight I was able to draw from his conduct. Hallelujah. No angel in scripture has ever done what Gabriel did. Gabriel said, "My name is Gabriel." Now, see, the angel is a ministering spirit. Is that not so? The angel is a being that is locked in service to God. Because the Bible says that they excel in strength and they obey the voice of God's word. Now, so he's locked in service. Even though he has a will, by design, he is to carry out instructions and to perform the voice of God. That's the scope of the oppressions of the angelic. Now, this guy came with a message, and he came to deliver the message. After he delivered the message, he saw that the recipient of the message did not believe the message. Obviously, the message he came to deliver was not his message. The message he came to deliver was what? God's message. He received it from the mouth of God, and he went to give it to a mortal man. When he delivered the message to mortal man disbelieved God. At that point in time, he aborted mission. He was no longer delivering an errand or a message. The unbelief of Zechariah crystallized or triggered another dimension which was not part of the errand. Are you with me? Something else, a reaction was taking place now, which is not consistent with the errand that he came to present. He now said, that message I brought is God's own, okay? But me, you have not known me. I am what? I am Gabriel. Hey, okay, maybe the man is confused. Say, well, I may not know this Gabriel of which you speak. No problem. I'll go for that. I am Gabriel. My status is that I am the one that stands before the presence of God. Obviously, Gabriel knew more about the presence of God than the priest that was supposed to be ministering before the presence of God. You are not with me. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I bring good, glad tidings to you, and you doubt. He said, okay, because of that, you will be dumb. That God didn't send him to make him dumb. Why did he become dumb? Because I am Gabriel. You are not with me. He said, you will not have the ability to, I seize your ability to speak until the time when the things that have uttered will come to pass. That's not part of the errand. That one is happening because I am Gabriel. Alright? Obviously, because of the unbelief of Zechariah, his utterances were going to interfere with the manifestation of the things that God wanted to do. So he invoked authority by reason of the fact that he was the angel that stood before the presence of God. He had leverage to some level of authority. That was the authority invoked. He didn't say in the name of the Lord. No, he said, I am what? Because of my status, I have access to a sphere of authority, and I invoke that authority today. On this account, you will not speak again. By me. Until the things that I've spoken about come to pass. Not too many angels can do this. The angels that can do this They are called the custodians. Are you with me? You know, we saw the first night, we saw the guardians. There's a way they behave. They guard secrets. They guard the glory of God. They guard the presence of God. In fact, while Lucifer was yet in heaven, he was in the colony of guardians. And that's why the Bible called him the guardian cherub that covereth. While he does his ministry as a minstrel in the courts of heaven, his design was the best kind of design you could ever think of. The Bible said the workmanship, his frame, his the expertise and the artistic dimensions that gave birth to his structure was that all precious stones you can think about were forged into his frame. And he also had the embodiment of the tablets and the pipes. And if you know music at all, music is a combination of string instruments and of wind instruments. So string and wind instruments were forged into his frame. So if he makes a move, music comes out of him. If he makes another move, music comes out of him. He was, and the Bible called him the anointed cherub. So he had the capacity to peep into the heart of God and know God's mood. And then he produces a sound that was equivalent to the mood that he discovered. And when God was excited at what he did, he became like an umbrella. He covered the light that came from the throne. And that was why he got that nickname called Lucifer, the light bearer. So he was also among the guardians. But this one is different. This one can invoke his name. He can do something by his own name. It means he has received something. Have you ever read that scripture? When Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have." He didn't say such as God has. Me. You don't understand. Such as what I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, a human being say he has something. On the account of what he has, he can command the cripple to. I don't have money. I don't have gold. Can't settle your poverty. But I have something. And such as I have, I give. He had something together with God. And he could sponsor the man's healing on the account of that which he had. That's a custodian. Just like Gabriel was. I am Gabriel. If the purposes of God will advance in a generation, then custodians must arise. Men that have things in common with God. You see, when Christianity begins to fail in a city, there are no custodians there. People that have stature in the spirit, people that are ranking in heaven. I am Gabriel that standeth in the presence of God. Can we turn our Bibles? Just follow me. Okay, maybe you may not be able to see your own. I will read for you. Custodians, they are strange men. Strange people. Romans. Now, in the book of Romans chapter 9, Paul was trying to give us an insight into the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel. Why the nation of Israel was different from other nations of the world. Small nation in the midst of enemies, and is a nation that cannot be destroyed because of some factors. Saudi Arabia, all of the neighbors are there surrounding it, very small. But there is something that is happening in that nation that makes it indestructible. And Paul was trying to give us insight about how that nation is the way it is. Now, in the book of Romans chapter 9, he gives us a little insight. Now, in verse 1, he says, I say the truth in Christ, align not my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow of heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Then he gives us their credentials in verse 4. He says, who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption? That's number one. And the glory. Number two. And the covenant. Number three. And the giving of the law. Number four. And the service of God. Number five. And the promises. Number six. Whose are the fathers? Seven. Of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. How many points there? That's the description of Israel as a nation is a custodian. Are you with me? Oh, you're not with me. If we can't go far, if we are not catching now. Now, how many things did we count there? He said because of those eight things. They are custodians of eight pivotal things. That's why they are indestructible. If you like, go and borrow atomic bomb from Russia, and you say you want to waste it on Israel, you are joking. This guy, he said, according to the flesh, to them pertaineth the covenants. There are some things stronger than the wisdom that forged the uranium bomb that is at work in those cities, in that nation, that will counter that your battle strategy. He said, to them are the law. He said, the fathers, the patriarchs, men that had first-hand encounter with God, through whom God forged the culture of his government upon the face of the earth. He said, those that nation, those patriarchs are their fathers. Indicative of the fact that the nation of Israel is a custodian nation. And you may not hate, you may not like them. But you see, wisdom demands that you align with them. Because if you align with them, the powers they carry will favor you. But if you decide to become their enemy, the powers and the tokens that they inhabit and they carry will turn against you. It's just like the furnace of the sun decides to burn you because you are not in alignment. That is why that nation cannot be destroyed, because it is a custodian nation. Are you with me? If God must move in the last days, then custodians will arise. Now, how will you? Can you wake up and you see Abraham, you want to kill him? It's impossible. He's a custodian. When God was looking for a way to redeem man from the face of the earth, he sought a man of sufficient stature. A man that had the capacity to mount up with wings as eagles. By that I mean a man that could risk fate. Alright? Because God was invisible. And the Bible said that in Haran, according to the book of Acts chapter 7, God appeared to a man. I don't know in what form, in what fashion. But if some of us have worked with God for a while, we have had several encounters with God. But you see, for this man is not as educated as we are. We are coming from Christian homes. We have been hearing about Jesus, angels. This guy is just a heathen. He comes from a family of priests to an idol. That was the reason why God insisted that he would have to leave his father's house. His country. His kindred. God demanded total separation from him because of his roots. And all of the Chaldees was the world power of that time. Civilization on earth in this form and fashion was traced back to all of the Chaldees, Abraham's hometown. And then this man receives instruction from this invisible God of whom he had no knowledge. And he took his family, his wife, and journeyed to a land that he did not know. That's what made him qualify to be a prophet. He didn't know where he was going. He followed the voice that spoke to him, and that voice led him there. And that's why when God was rebuking Pharaoh, he said, that man is a prophet. You can't kill him, because by faith he has found an existence that you cannot access by your senses. Abraham pioneered that dimension. He was a man of sufficient stature, such that he has three titles in the hall of God's universe. He is called the father of faith. He is called the friend of God. And he is called the father of many nations. If any nation will connect with God's blessing, it's because he aligned with the power and the spirit of Abraham. And because of his stature, Jews, Christians, and Muslims claim him to be their spiritual father. Can you think you see that man on the road and your pistol can kill him? He is a custodian. The mystery that is walking around his life is stronger than the science of bullet and gun. You see, witches and wizards have celebrated for long because custodians are absent. Circles and cycles of demonic operations have lingered because custodians are absent. False preachers that operate by the spirit of divination have stayed long on stage because custodians are absent. In the days of Benzin Dahosa, he said, if I be a man of God. You see, a custodian has a way of speaking. It's not because he's proud, it's because of what he's carrying. Such as I have, I give you. He's not pride, he's carrying something. And until you know what he's carrying, you cannot prepare to fight him very well. Hallelujah. Which is attempted. Wizards, in fact, 12 o'clock in the night, I heard one time, Idahosa drove to the house of a witch, took her, put in his Benz, drove to waterside and said, oh yeah, kill me now. Kill me. This is, people like water area and night. Okay, we are in your own, we have used your specification, your jungle. Keep, the witch had to beg. This is a man that cannot die. He must not die. That standeth in the presence of God. So that's why that nation Israel cannot be destroyed, because it's a custodian nation. You see, theirs is the adoption, theirs is the glory, theirs is the covenant, theirs is the giving of the law, theirs is the service of God, theirs is the promises, theirs is the fathers, and of whom, concerning the flesh, Christ came. He said, because of these 8 points above, they are indestructible. They will live as long as the earth remains. No matter how many nations gang up against them, they will survive. Characteristics of custodians. The reason why they don't need bulletproof. The reason why they don't need to fight some battles that ordinary people fight. One, they are the keepers and the custodians of deep spiritual secrets. You see, when God brings you to a level in the spirit where he begins to give you secrets, you are exempted from some challenges. One of the things you are exempted from is debt. I boast often that it's not every man that can die before his time. Me, I'm one of them. You can't just decide to wake up and what you want to do that day is to kill me. Well, suddenly you will discover that you live on bread. Suddenly. That you need to draw something. It will be denied you. Hallelujah. We were there in Kano when we had public meetings, crusades, and people gave their life to Christ in glory. I didn't know that the network, the Islamic network, had identified us and they were monitoring us. And on the last day of the crusade, they sent two people to come into the crusade, first of all to demobilize our PA system. And then when the confusion of PA system, no sound, goes up, they will now launch an attack. And I was praying on the mountain to come down for the meeting. And he said, two enemies are in your camp. You know, some of you are pious and sacramental, but some of us fight. We fight. So when I came down from the mountain and I put on my suit, I came to the crusade ground. The time to minister came, I said, there are two people that came here. You came here to disrupt this meeting. That I'm giving you 7 days, your hand will wither. God didn't tell me that. The people that were sent to come and destroy our meeting had to give their life to Christ. He said, this kind of your God that can hunt a man in 7 days and wither his hand. We don't need to test the efficacy. That was how we preached the gospel open air for 6 years in the land of Canaan. And as brutal as, and that was during the riot. When riot, any small thing could escalate, fire, things. The day police came to arrest me, that was the day two cripples began to walk. There are some that cannot die. They must not die. But to them pertaineth the covenant. And so a custodian is a recipient of secrets. I need you to understand that the earth stands on a delicate balance. There are many secrets that makes it stand where it stands. And people that were able to tap into these secrets had the ability to control, to do supernatural things in the natural. Men like Joshua, they understood the code by which the balance of the earth was sitting. And that was why he could utter in his voice and remove a day out of February. Those are custodians. Men like Moses, he carried the children of Israel and they were to cross a river. He knew the code to make it pass. Now, see, those things are not fairy tales, they are possible today. If we know the code, we can split the river. If we know the code, we can speak to the sun that it will not go down. If we know the code, we can cause rain to fall in dry season. Somewhere, he knew what sacrifice to offer. He offered a sacrifice in dry season and he brought rain. Now, so the ordinances of the heavens are subject to secrets. And custodians are keepers of such secrets. That is why they are impregnable. That is why you can't plan to kill them. They need to be in the earth in order for the balance to be sustained. Now, in the book of Luke chapter 2, come with me. We have a long way to go. Now, there's a reason why I say this night is significant. And sincerely, it is my great wish that people will not come many this evening. Because I can tell you that something will happen today. We may not know the meaning today, subsequently. It will be clear. To hell with the devil. Luke chapter 2. Hallelujah. Hosanna Kinambotamu.
Luke chapter 2, will commence a reading from verse 25.
And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he shall not see death before he has seen the Lord Christ. A custodian is separated from death. See, the fact that you are in custody of these secrets makes you... Oh my.
You don't understand what I'm talking about.
It was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he will not see death until he beholds the Lord Christ. That was a covenant because of the secrets that the Holy Ghost has given him. He says some of those secrets actually make for longevity. You will not die of asthma. You will not die of hypertension. And many people can be plagued with all kinds of affliction, but because of the secrets you have contacted, a few of them guarantee that your lifespan is not determined from the end. So you will not die until you have seen the Lord Christ. And the Bible says the day that Jesus was brought into the temple, Simeon, he came out of his cave. I need you to understand that there are great men that walk among us. Great men. Some things will never happen in some territories until those men come into the temple. I've always cried, I don't want to be an ordinary man. From the time that John the Baptist was to be conceived, his destiny was articulated. And the Bible reveals that he was ordained to be great in the sight of God. He was ordained to be a custodian by ordination. There are great men that walk among us. Not every man can die of a plague. Not every man can be cut off by witchcraft. The Bible says this one was preserved from death because of the secrets that he had captured from God. He was a devout and a righteous man, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And the Bible says he came into the temple. He said, oh God, I've been praying to die since, and death has been kept away. But now, let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen the salvation that you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. He has been praying to die, but the secrets he carried guaranteed that death will be far from him. He said, now, let it be now. You say the accident happened and then somebody died. No, Kai, stop that. The accident can go on. Just like Jesus said, let us cross to the other side. He didn't say they will use canoe. Why was Peter confused when the wind went boisterous? He spoke and his fear came out of his knowledge of fishing. If that boat had collapsed, maybe they would have been floating, just because that word cannot fall to the ground. Who told you need the car to reach that place you are going? Your mission and the destiny of the car are not tied. And no, they are not the same. There's nothing linking you with that car. Nothing. The car can break down and burn. Alright? But see, we need to go over. Those are two mutually exclusive events. The boat and the car. Going to the other side and boat. Abba, who told you that everybody that has accident would die? The car can go. We came with that car. We will be happy with that one too. So we don't want... Hey, they say, okay, thieves stole the car. I won't even think of it.
No, no. We were doing well before we had cars. We had found security in Christ. And our life is not dependent on the material things that we have possessed, but the power of that covenant that links us to Jehovah, wherein we call his name, he shows up. Not everybody can invoke him. Not everybody. He said, now let thy servant depart, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared before the face of all people. Now, after this meeting tonight, desire not to be a natural, normal, carnal man. Natural, normal, carnal man. No. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. While I was doing my youth service and we're doing those 9 months of fasting, pray for 6 hours, pray for 4 hours, pray, sometimes we go for 8 hours. After praying for 4 hours, we are not satisfied, we go to the field, we top it for 4 hours, but Jesus will allow us to go. So I was doing that, and then one of the days, we prayed until 12 midnight. We just prayed like that, just prayed in tongues, to 12 midnight. And I came home. I started feeling something like fever. I thought I was having fever. I don't know. I just came back, opened my door, closed it, and then I laid down in the sitting room. And the ceiling and the walls disappeared. And I was in another world. I saw 5 years, 10 years into the future. I was in another world and I was there for 3 hours from 12 midnight. I came back from that world by 3 a.m. in the morning. I thought it was fever. No, it was angels. They wanted to transport me. The transport mode of heaven. Have you read the book of Revelation chapter 4? When a voice cried, come up here! And I will show you things that will happen hereafter. And the Bible says immediately, I was in the spirit and there was a throne. That's the transport mode of heaven. I've experienced it once and again. Strange things were shown me. Then I had this problem with stammering. I want to talk about what happened. I was there, and while I was there, the angel was trying to explain to me certain things about the future, and I now told him I'm a stammerer. I touched him like this. His body is like coke bottle, twisted glass, and inside that glass the light is coming out, and the light is almost solid. This is the clearest physical thing that to angelic frame. Clearest physical. Hallelujah. He got angry because I said I'm Mr. Wara. Then he carried the screw, he wound it like this and used it to hit me. And as he hit me, I transported from that realm and came into the natural, and my stammering left. Now, no, not amen. I missed. I would have stayed there longer. Do you understand? Oh my. You don't understand me. Yes, my that means that where I was, stammering was not the issue at all. Oh my Jesus. Sometimes when we think like men, we are disqualified. And I thought that angel will never come again. And the Wednesday of that week, I thought that it's only in the room that he can come. No, I was in the congregation, big service like this. And they were doing worship, and I did like this. And this, as I was doing like this, the ceiling was disappearing. I will not tell you what I saw that one, but it lasted for 45 minutes. The first one was 3 hours, second one was 45 minutes. And I saw the future. You see, sometimes when some people preach some things with boldness, they have seen something. Sometimes when you see a man in the midst of corruption, but you see an erect man, he has seen something. Sometimes when you see people afraid and you see one man there, he's not even concerned whether anything is happening. He has seen something. taken to a room. There were scrolls in the ceiling, scrolls on the shelf, scrolls on the floor. And the room had no end to sight. Because I asked for revelation. And they took me to that room. Then I discovered that what there is to know, no human being can do it. There is no end to that knowledge. Are you with me? There is no end to that dimension. For many nights, I know many nights, angels came to teach me the scriptures in my dreams. Many nights, for almost throughout 1 year. There are many things I was taught that I've not been allowed to teach. They say these secrets get into the earth before the time evil things will happen. That's why Jesus spoke in parables. When the plane and the plane wanted to crash, I knew I wouldn't die. I was lost. Jesus. I don't know how God will do it, but I know I'm coming out cool. People were calling the name of their God. Me, I called his name at home. So we don't need to call his name. No need to emotionally call his name at that time. Well, somehow, in fact, as the thing was going on, I slept off. It was when we were landing that we don't land. I didn't know the person by my side took note. Then he asked, what charm? What? What court? If you want to explain it, it will take time. So there's no need to answer some questions. It will take time. The Holy Ghost was upon him. The Holy Ghost was upon him. We have lived natural lives for too long. Custodians are keepers of secrets. Secondly, they are carriers of covenants. In Genesis chapter 12, God meets a man and he establishes some eternal covenants with him. God's first attempt to create a platform to redeem man from the fall began with the call of Abraham. The call of Abraham is the beginning of the process of redemption. The crucifixion of Christ was the epicenter of that process, and the kingdom is the goal of that process. So we're redeemed so that we could now access the thing that God was offering us in the Garden of Eden that Adam rejected. Because it was kingdom that God was offering Adam in Eden that he could not access because of his rebellion. So when redemption came, that began with Abraham, found his circumference and center with Christ, then the kingdom became accessible again. And that was what God was offering initially. Do you understand that? There were some things that God told Abraham on the account of the covenant that he contracted with him. And in Genesis chapter 12, the Bible says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house to a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation. And bless thee. And make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. Now, see, custodians have several things that God has promised them. Sometimes God swears to them. Hallelujah. He said, I will make thee a great nation. One, I will bless thee. Two, make thy name great. Three, thou shalt be a blessing. Four, I will bless them that bless thee. Five, I will curse him that curseth thee. Six, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Which kind of man is this? You might see him on the field and underestimate him and think that by sword and shield you can kill him. Maybe your name is Boko Haram and you feel that you can cast a bomb where he is
contaminating, the powers that hold him together are more than flesh, blood and bone. He said, I will bless him that blessed thee. Now, see, if you find a custodian and you hate him, instantly a curse begins to walk on your life. You see, great men walk among us. In Benin, there were some great men like that. I used to antagonize Benson Daosa. He cursed. You know him, he curses. We are pious. We are sanctimonious. But Benson was a prince. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Benson was invited to bring rain in nations where the heavens were sealed. That one is not just a preacher, he's a rainmaker. No, that's not a preacher. Hallelujah. He cursed them. Many years after he died, their families were wiped out. So it's not only the people, their families were, because a custodian has fallen. This prophet in the west, Babalola, the river he prayed on, because he was tired of laying hands on the sick. So he said, he now read John chapter 5. What happened at the pool of Bethesda? Then he knew that his days of laying hands are over. He went to one stream and prayed on it, that if sick people enter, let them be healed. 24 years after he died, he healed a madman. By what spirit did those ones pray? That was a man that in a normal service like this, during praise and worship, he suspends from the ground. Yes. He suspends from the ground. You see, Yoruba people are fetish people. Exceptional. Their roots are dark. For them to embrace the gospel like this, they saw things beyond the books. They saw signs and wonders. He went to preach in Ilori. You know, Ilori had always been this Islamic stuff. And people gave their life to Christ in droves. So they conspired and jailed him for 6 months. It was when he came out of prison for 6 months that he began to suspend. He became much more of a terror than they would have left him. They would have left him. So how will you arrest a man that suspends? The driver that drove him testified many times how that he vanished from the vehicle, and he, the driver, drove to the place where he was going and saw him preaching on the pulpit. Many times. How can you explain that? In the midst of his prayer, Angel Michael came to him and his feet did not touch the ground. He gave him a bell. That this bell, ring it while you preach. And when he comes to villages and rings, miracles, signs, and wonders. See, you see, pastor still have bello. That one, they bought it from the market. Now, you are not here. You are not here. Hallelujah. They bought that one from there. His own was a bell of signs and wonders. He comes to a village, he will ring. And say, in 2 weeks' time, an affliction is coming. The people will drive him. After 2 weeks, everybody's sick. They send a mercenary to go and find him. His own gospel was by signs and wonders. He didn't have time to preach long sermons. He was in a hurry. As a young boy, after God began to encounter him and angels, he submitted to the fathers of faith in those days. And he was fasting in one of their houses in Elisha. So they now, they were holding meeting in the dining room. Men of God from different provinces. And what was the subject? Miracles for today. That was the subject of the meeting, so that they will formulate a doctrine that is consistent with their decision. So what was the topic? Miracles for what? For today. So they were discussing it. Then the room he was praying, doing his dry fasting, he peeked through the window and saw that a small girl had died, and there was wailing. He now came out of the room, saw the elders. He greeted them, went outside, and he raised the girl that died. The meeting ended that time, because no need for deliberation. We have seen a man that... You see, we hold long, long meetings when we don't have something to show. Raise the girl from the dead. That was how a revival broke out. People began to leave idolatry. He was an apostle of signs and many, many wonders. At the age of 58, the Lord appeared to him and said, your work has finished. But if you want to stay on earth, I'll give you more time. He said, no, carry me. Carry me. Carry me. Carry me. But before he left, he called his scribe to write. And he prophesied about year after year, 24 years after his death. He spoke about the nation, how that the nation will walk 40 years in the wilderness. Exactly. That in the midst of plenty, there will be poverty and scarcity. But he spoke about a time when the heavens will open over Nigeria and the fire of God will beam into it. And the things that they did in their time will become child's play compared to the things that will happen in the church of that day. And they desired to have been born at that time. Now, the thing is, did they lie? Indeed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Custodians are men that carry the grace, that fulfill the desires of many prayers communicated to God. Exodus chapter 3. Because I see a lot of us here, there has been many stirrings over your life, but you have despised them. You see, a supernatural thing doesn't need to be necessarily spectacular. And I will show you how to identify supernatural things so that you can lay hold of them and be strong in the spirit. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight where the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Which are in Egypt, and have heard the cry by reason of their taskmasters. Now, I would like us to follow the things that God said he saw. They have seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and I've also heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. Amen. For I know their sorrows. I'm come down to deliver the land them out of the hand of the Egyptians. So the reason why Moses became a custodian was because of the cry of the children of Israel in the land of captivity. Their cry made him to remember the covenant that he made with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And that cry led him into the wilderness in search of Moses. There are several times when the prayers of a particular land begin to ascend to God. And according to the book of Revelation chapter 5, a very graphic portrait of what obtains in the courtroom of God was revealed. The Bible says that in the presence of God, there were veils containing odors. And those odors were the prayers of the saints. It was as if God stores prayer somewhere in heaven. Territorial prayer. As people pray for a dormer land, he stores the prayer up there, waiting for the vial to be full. And then when the vial becomes full, it begins to release an incense in God's throne room.
That incense is what the Bible calls a memorial. Because God cannot deny that some people have made effort to draw his attention. It's on the strength of that incense, when it reaches that point of saturation, that God moves into action and begins to do some sovereign things upon the face of the earth to bring this counsel to pass. That was what happened in the case of Moses. And God was moved into action because of the cry of the children of Israel that spanned for 400 years. The veil was full, and it was time for God's sovereignty to go into action. And on the strength of that, Moses was called. Hallelujah. Ordinary man, taking care of the flock. But from that day, the honors that makes a custodian began. He said, remove your shoe first. Because the ground where you are standing is holy ground. There are strange instructions that God will give a custodian. Strange instructions to consummate the covenant and to make it forceful. Strange things that God will tell a custodian. Now my question to you is this: the things that God have been telling you, did you obey it? The one he told you when you were doing your service, do you still remember it? Many of us were designed by God, just like I saw when I prayed. Designed by God to be great people, there's a disconnect somewhere. You see, and when you disconnect from the point of encounter and visitation, your life is measured into time. 2 cycles and cycles are accomplished, but no major spiritual accomplishment finds expression. You have been measured into time. Encounters suck you into the realm of the spirit so that you become an object and a being of purpose, emerging from one dimension of glory to another. But when those encounters cannot fructify in your life, your life is measured into time. Strange instructions began. I was expecting that when God told Moses, remove your sandals because the place where you are standing is holy ground, I was expecting him to ask, why? Why sandal? Why? Because as a custodian, God will begin to give you instructions, and he is expecting that your understanding will be unfruitful. You don't know the mysteries that intermeddle to formulate that instruction. And it's expecting you to obey without understanding. See, your life will be forged in mystery. There are many things you will not understand that God will say you should do. If you can be foolish enough to keep the pace, you will be shown great and mighty things that you do not know. Anything in the hand of a custodian is a weapon. God looked upon Moses and said, what is that in your hand? He said, it's a rod. It's you that called it a rod. Anything in the hand of a strong man is a weapon. It's you that called it a rod. I will take that rod in thy hand, and with that same rod, the one you have used for 40 years to do your cattle work, that same one, I will do signs and wonders. What God will use as your rod is something you are used to. Maybe you are used to singing, bless people. But you say, I will take that song, not another thing, that same one, and I will put my spirit upon it. And from today, when you sing, I will cause signs and wonders. You want to travel to Malaysia first, and then you come back, and then you know that you are anointed. No. He doesn't need a journey. He will take something that you have all this while, and he will touch it. And that becomes an instrument to perform wonders and to do signs. What is that in your hand? Help me ask your neighbor, what is that in your hand? He didn't hear you. Ask him again. What is that in your hand? I was also expecting that Moses would have said, why are you asking me? Something I've been holding since. But that which you have will make a new meaning when God touches it. The way of the custodian is a way of secrets. God will show you things that you don't know. Some of them, it will take you 15 years before you understand it. Some, it will take you 5. A man that wants to understand everything, he will experience go slow. Tell your neighbor, we live by God's instructions, not by God's explanations. You want to understand how it works. You are Kana. We live by his instructions, not by his explanations. There are many lines of obedience that will be established in your life before understanding will start coming. He said, what is that in your hand? I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. And because he was going to send him to Pharaoh, and I'm going to send you to the elders of the children of Israel. Moses had a problem. He said, if you send me to the elders, they will ask me what your name is. So God was under pressure to give Moses revelation that he did not plan to give him initially. You see, as a custodian, you will have access even to revelations that God did not plan to give you. There are dimensions in God that our shallowness will never allow us to see. I said I would take only 45 minutes to talk, after which we'll pray. So the 45 minutes have been accomplished. I'm going to stop here so that we can pray. Listen to me. As we pray, some things that some people have lost, it will be restored. I did not tell you the full story. One of the things I saw when I was transported in the spirit was Benue State. This vision that I speak of, I saw it 13 years ago. For a long time, I've not been allowed to talk about it. Because as preachers, we are not all about talk. We are custodians of the mysteries of God. I saw many things that will come to pass. Then, it was in those days, 13 years ago, that I knew that the place of my primary assignment, the place of my launching pad to the nations of the world, would be from Benue State. And so because God wanted to send me to carry out an assignment, he had to give me some insight into the land. He used many metaphors to show me times and seasons. And I watched over the land for many years, trying to understand the signification of those signs that I had seen. Then I knew that what he showed me in metaphoric sense was a timetable, showing the time where a great revival will break out of this land. I did not know it was a timetable for many years. He showed me that a time was coming when there will be a flood in the land. For those of you that came with me from Makurdi, you remember when I stood on the pulpit and I prophesied that there was going to be a flood in Benue State and many people will become refugees. That people should not weep because of the flood and because they are homeless. But that flood is a sign that the principality that rules from Benue State to Cameroon has fallen. I said it that year, but people did not understand. I had seen that vision 13 years ago, and God was showing me that one of the time signatures, the things that will indicate the nearness of that move, was about to... I was preaching when I was taking from the pulpit to the heavens, and they were talking about the flood in Benue State. I had seen it before, and now it was time for it to be executed. It was when I came out of that vision that I gave that prophecy. People began to wonder what I meant. And there was serious rain in my cottage 2 weeks after. And somebody called me that, that your prophecy has come to pass. So many pole wire fell. I said, bro, that is not what I prophesied. Hold on. And pray hard. And when the flood came, some of you in my cottage know what I'm talking about. It was a timetable he showed me. That before that revival comes, a flood will hit the land. As a sign that the principality. I didn't understand that territorially, Benue State and Cameroon were in the same spiritual zone. I don't know whether I'm supposed to say all this one here. Oh, Jesus, help me. There are many things that if you don't know, you'll be measured into time. You may never mount up with wings like eagles. The Lord told me that when that flood comes, that it will bring different kind of fish. There will be a lot of fish that year. As the flood came, with the flood was fish. It was a timetable. The thing about the prophecy was not the flood. Those were signs pointing to the fact that the seasons that God spoke about was about to come. Then he told me that some mysteries has revealed to me that is now we should start to preach it. You know, those days when I came out of the cave, the secrets he taught me, I wanted to teach people. Not knowing that they were supposed to be taught in their seasons. You know, I was still, had not understood the protocol. You know what he did? All the people I tried to teach, he scrambled their understanding so they could not understand. Then I went back to consult. He said, young man. Even Paul, there were things I showed him that was not lawful for him to speak with men. Preachers are not all about talk. We must become custodians where secrets of the operation of the heavenlies lies in our belly. For unto us it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. I saw the fire of a revival that washed this land. And the land was made a pavement. And Jesus set foot on the land. I saw it. It is to that end that he sent me to be a preacher in Benue State. That I should preach, pray, and prophesy until that revival comes. Hallelujah. The true measure of a man is the secrets that lie in his belly. Tonight we are going to pray. And we pray this prayer not because I want to lead us in prayer, but because I have seen that it's time for it to be prayed. Some things that are locked up will be open, but it will be your responsibility to manage it anyway. It was when those encounters took place that I was transformed from the man that I was into a man that I am now. Not Bible study. Maybe you think that, okay, this guy has studied. Yes, I've studied the Bible. I've studied small. Right? But what I'm sharing with you and what you have been hearing me share is not a product of Bible study. Because somebody heard me teach the scriptures, he said, oh, I have Bible software on my computer that I should give him all the Bible softwares I have. So I said, bring your system. I gave him all the softwares. Okay, these are the softwares I use. Then he now said, yes, now I will be able to teach the way you are teaching. The softwares confuse him more. It's not because you bought a new Bible or a red letter Bible or a multi-translation Bible. It's because you saw the chamber of secrets and the staff was handed to you. So that as you journey in the spirit realm, you raise that staff impossible portals are open to your access. That's what makes you a man of revelation and mystery. Paul was such a man. After giving his life to Christ, Jesus had to withdraw him to the wilderness of Arabia for 3.5 years. Secrets untold. Secrets in the form and in the manner that men are not supposed to know in their lifetime were revealed to this man. He came out a custodian of mystery. He was the one that said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed." He was the only apostle that spoke about rapture. We shall not all sleep. We shall be changed. Even men like Paul, like Peter, when they heard the utterances of Paul, they knew he was standing on another mountain altogether. And they agreed that his was the power of mystery and revelation. Nobody ever knew the destiny of the church until Paul came upon the scene and came back from the wilderness of Arabia. That was what he wrote in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. He traced the origin of all things to the heart of God, where all secrets were captured even before the foundation of the world. Such a man. It was not because he was a student of Gamaliel. He had seen something beyond the knowledge of the lecturers. He said, "I came to Jerusalem by revelation." You know how many times they tried to kill him? But that he could not die. Because he must not die. Friends, the time has come. And from this moment hence, as you watch this land, things that have been kept in secret, God will begin to usher them into lamplight. The hand of the pendulum has shifted. And you will see that God will take sides with them that are devout and righteous. The finger of God will touch the land, and the slain of the Lord will be many. Behold, I show you a mystery. Such men. A man that spoke to a politician of high ranking that understood the politics of generation, and Paul began to bring the gospel. This great philosopher, he shook. He saw a wisdom superior to the philosophy he had read for so many years, and he told Paul, "You almost made me your convert." It was not because he quoted scripture. He was a custodian of many mysteries. Can we pray tonight? The reason why you still fear is because you have not seen. For heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot, not one tittle of his counsel shall fall to the ground without being fulfilled. Your life is not an accident. He told Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before thou camest forth, I sanctified and ordained you as a prophet to the nations." You are going to invoke the reason why you are here. He said, "Before you came out, I already ordained your reason for manifestation." That reason must be invoked right now, so that we can touch the Spirit of God. The Bible says that the Spirit of God was upon Simeon. Rehesque for Sokobo.
Igabatoshina Kabalanta Babu. Senate Kuria Mama, Haile Sake, Haile Marakute, Haile Sunda Matanda. Inde la Bala, Akatendos Ibele Copa, Milakosa Nakabala Hatabaila Hama. The time has come for the effect of every vision, for the vision will speak and it will not lie. It will not lie. Simamante kolatuna Shine a mondela tiga sanamo. Akamonde asina kanda mabodena. Kaila bode manamonde. Bode, bode, bode. Aeso nazio, aema. Monde, monde, monde. Amen as I am. Ikeke bodela eka babanemo. Zainamona. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. was a man. Some of us that are supposed to be prophets and we have not known. Some of us struggling with business when that is not what we are called to do. Today God will unlock. He will unlock things that have been held down. Rivers will gush forth. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Some things will be unlocked. Even in the lives of some children running around here, things will be unlocked. Listen to me. This night, God planned for it. He planned for it. He ordained. Some things will be unlocked here today. Some of you, you'll be reconnected back to the power source that you contacted long time. The custodians must arise for the land to advance. The angels that brought ancient secrets will be restored. They will come again. It coincides with a spiritual season. I'll just pray a prayer and that my assignment will be accomplished. If there is faith in your heart and we connect today, the effect of this prayer you will not see, you may not see today. But you will see it. Father, in the name of Jesus. Hey, now listen to me. There's somebody here, you were ordained by God to bring deliverance to your family and you have not known. God will anoint you to carry out that assignment because it's urgent. It's urgent. It's urgent. It's urgent. Now the anointing will come on you. It will come on you. Father, in the name of Jesus, that one that has been ordained to bring deliverance to his or her family that has not been empowered to do it. Father, from my left hand side to my right hand side, from my left hand side to my right hand side, we are crying to you that that anointing be released. From my left hand side to my right hand side, it's coming now. I can see it. It's coming. It's coming. From my left hand side to, yes, 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 to my right hand side, from my left hand side to my right hand side. Father, that one that has been ordained to bring deliverance to the family, move. Bring them. I want to touch them. I want to touch them. They have been tarrying for long. Just back the thoughts. A touch. Inakanemurukus ele. Cause what have you been waiting for? The heavens call you. The Lord proclaims your name. Strength is brought upon your right hand. Yakomene. Father, the time has come. The time has come. I'm seeing somebody in the spirit. God will be sending you to places where darkness has casted the shadow of death to bring men out of the hold of the devil. And that anointing will come upon you right now. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Move. Why should we steal until we die? Why should we steal until we die? Ilemonta. There is someone here. God will release something on your right hand. On your right hand, an anointing will descend. On your right hand, an anointing will descend. On your right hand, an anointing will descend. On your right hand, an anointing will descend right now. On your right hand, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, on the right hand, on the right hand, on the right hand, on the right hand. Ooh. Anything that was placed on you that brings confusion, trouble, today God is separating you from that thing. I'm seeing that you are being given a new garment. The sweet spirit of the living God, the one that quickens, the one that makes alive, descend upon your son tonight and put upon him a new garment. Thank you. Yes. From today, you will mount up with wings like the eagle. Every token of your destiny is hereby restored. Mount up with wings like eagles. Receive that right.
clap. Where is that? Okay, take pastor. Pastor, that will be pastor in that church.
He came on the Bible. I never lied.
In the name of Jesus, the wisdom, the anointing, the grace to command everyone in that place to the obedience of Christ. The wisdom, the grace, the wisdom, the grace. In the name of Jesus. Tonight, I invoke the power of your name. I invoke the power of your name. From the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, anything that God has not planted in your life, I root it out. Yes. I say I root it out in the name of Jesus. You see, the spirit of death is leaving you. I command the stranglehold of death. Go in the name of Jesus. Can you stretch your hand here? Okay, give me that one. Ikele indoma nega ina. Sane mundi nanga bina. Sane nunda leyo. Sane leyo. Sane leyo. Naye mumu. Hey. Start from there. Hey! Okay. I need to be relaxed before I can finish. God will give them back to you. But the responsibility will be yours to maintain what is coming. Father, in the name of Jesus, you said today that the people that you have marked, you will reactivate the things that you have deposited upon them. So let it begin with your son, that there be a reactivation. 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 Let everything that was captured within a lost season be gathered unto him tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay. Your prayers are answered. You, wait, don't clap. You, come. You see, I drew one line here. Eh? Stand on that, on this line, anywhere you want. I think my instruction is so clear. Oh yeah, you. No, okay, go back. You have missed. Come, stand on this, anywhere on this line. Anywhere on this line. Good. Pastor, where are the faithful sisters in this church? Not married women, I mean sisters. I know you are married, but because that one missed, that's why you are here. You were not supposed to be here. Oh yeah. We can't take more than 7. You can choose 6. Leave one for me. I will choose one. How many are we? 4. 5. Okay. What's it? Yeah. 6. Make sure you're standing on that line. Don't escape that line. Hey, who does your shoe? Line. Stand with your best boots. Here, come. Remove your shoe. Then stand on the line. Okay. Ah, there are 7. And keyboard man, hold on, please. Hold on. Now, I'm going to pray. Fire will come here. On your feet. Fire will come there. That fire, it will release some things into you. You don't need to believe. Father, this night, you say it is time. You see, in the next 10 years, we'll come back. I will ask for these 7 people. Their life would have changed. If I gave you an opportunity to enter here and you messed up, will we do it again in 10 years' time? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. It's coming. The fire is coming. I ask, Lord, you say I should anoint the ground and make a straight line that your fire will pass over that line. And impartations will be granted. The fire is coming strong. Yes, it's coming. It's coming strong. Make sure you are there. Yes. You have served. You have served. Many things will be released. There's fire coming there. There's fire. 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 Eskemo. 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 Ia foto moaka. Ia satome. Ia satome. Ia satome. Ia satome. Ia satome. Iketuato. Eskemo. 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 Ia skatome, 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 eskemo. Yenteko, beletekiske barantoskami. Beletekiske kantomina kwatamantana baburia. Belente uleswa. Eskemo, Eskemo, Eskemo. Fear not. Ita kopa suta. And it shall come to pass that he that is left Zion shall be holy. There's a mighty spirit of blazing holiness that is coming into this assembly. Mighty. It will come and it will express itself with signs and wonders. Iketo abalanto. Yes, come. Remove your standards. Is that not what you told Moses? Remove your footwear. Where you are standing is what? Imente elekurandwa. Eletus efreske. Ulandua. He's coming, don't worry. The flames will burn. Every curse in your life will be burnt off. Everything that God has not planted, bad circles of all kinds of things, today you will walk free. Father, said tonight was that night. Today was that day. That heavens will record as a memorial wherein you came to renew the covenant that you have with your people. Aha, yeah, I've been looking for you. Okay, join them. Join. And now the time has come.
Let the flames of God burn from under their feet. Elitaba. Let it burn. Let it burn. Let it burn. If you are sick and you are there, you'll be healed instantly. Let it burn. Esikla apara. Rapashketos evrekena ila. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Ento akwante barantos apatamaha. Ifete kopando aile kayakula kwate. Igonten oporia. Kaputa skebalate kotabala. Eskemo. Escape. Itula ikandes opoku afuga makata. Merento zinkanekete kuma. For the measures of God upon your life are hereby multiplied, saith God. For you have been faithful in the little, now I will give you custody of much. I will write your name upon a white stone in the tabernacle in heaven. And no man shall know that name, save you and me that has written it. And by the power of the grace that shall gush forth from your life, I will cause many to turn from darkness and to come to light. Say not again that I am not worthy. Say not again that I am not qualified. For I will be with your mouth and I will speak my counsel. I will speak my words. You shall lack for nothing. You shall want for nothing. For I shall be upon you a crown so bright and nothing shall be able to contend with you successfully. Ebale, Ebale, Milanto.